Blog Talk Radio.
Sanctum ego sacramentum, venerum celui, et antiquum documentum, novo celam figuri.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. That's a benediction hymn used in the Catholic Church. Basically, the words say, Lord, open the gates of heaven to us below. Foes close in on every side, and your strength bestow. Something like that. But anyway, you know, they're saying that a lot in the Middle East tonight, especially the Christians under the assault of ISIL, or the new Democrat Party, depending on how you look at it. It's unbelievable. So, let's see what we're talking about tonight. Oh, the topic for tonight is the president who assassinated a country. Add it all up. Obama scare, losing Egypt, losing Syria, losing Libya. No reason at all to go to Libya. We didn't have to go there. Muammar Gaddafi was no threat to us. Bush put a bomb in his tent, and that Reagan put a bomb in his tent, and that was the last we heard of him. When he seen baby Bush making a right into Saddam's palace, he said, that's it for me. I'm out of this game. And you know who else was almost out of this game, but we didn't pick up on it because we're too busy being stupid? The Iranians. Our tank columns were a half a mile from Ahmadinejad's house. That was the time to cut a deal. Now they're way ahead of us, way ahead of us. They will have a nuke soon. And the only one that's going to stop them is not going to be the late, great United States. The only one that's going to stop them is Israel, because Israel knows they're scheduled for extermination. And they've been cooked once before, and they're not going to let it happen again. So you can welcome to World War III, because it's happening, and the next war is nuclear. And you won't have to worry about small casualty counts, because you'll be talking about which cities are missing today. Oh, that can never happen. Let me tell you something about that can never happen. Never happens, happens all the time. You don't believe me? Look at World War II. One guy with two bullets and killed, like, what, 16 million people. With two bullets, he killed a man and a woman, and that was it, man. World War One was on. Yep. And you got to watch the History Channel so you can catch up with yourself. It is really sad that we don't know what we're doing. Okay, so let me see what else were we talking about. Yeah, we didn't have to go to Libya. That was a, you know what that was? That was a shopping spree for Hillary Clinton. She was shopping for guns to give to the Syrians. Yeah, she knew everything went to the seventh floor. Don't believe nothing goes to the seventh floor. Everything goes to, you think a lawyer like Hillary is going to let something go unnoticed under her nose? Under her two nostrils, you think she's going to miss anything? She may tell the Secret Service not to look in her eyes, but she is watching everybody. Yep. So to go to war, Bush got an act of Congress, but this Obama doesn't need one because he's a caliph. And now he's losing the entire Middle East. He's losing the Far East. He's giving back the Soviet slave nations to Rasputin. Yeah, after the second election, after I win a reinfection, I tell the president of Russia, the Tsar, the new Tsar, I have Tsars too, you know, will be more cooperative. What do they want? Poland? We'll give them Poland. Poland has no missiles to protect itself. I wouldn't let them go there. Tell Putin I'm working day and night for the grand plan. Oh, that can't be. He likes to play golf. That's his only weakness. Losing the economy by Friday may be his new weakness. Because I got to tell you, man, if unless the stock market jumps back 300 points tomorrow, we are going to be doing the slide, the electric slide. Yeah, and when the electric slide really gets slippery? When everybody panics. Yes. Working with the president of Mexico. I don't even know his name. I don't want to know his name. I have no respect for him whatsoever. I call him El Grande Coyote. He is a coyote. And the president of Mexico is a drug lord and a coyote. And he's helping Obama smuggle slaves into the helpless of A, formerly the useless of A, formerly the USA. And he's leaving troops to die in Benghazi and Mexico, sending troops to fight Ebola, allowing helpless children to be smuggled into the USA by criminals. No records, no names, and if they die, they die, and nobody knows who they were. And who's going to listen to a crying mother saying, they told me to give my daughter and it would be okay? Nobody's going to listen to her. Allowing disease to stalk the land. The only thing this guy hasn't brought is hoof and mouth disease. But if he keeps on giving speeches and Harry Reid keeps rustling cattle, we're going to be in trouble. Yeah, I wonder what the signs of hoof and mouth disease are. Got to wait 21 days after a speech. Allowing disease to stalk the land. No records, no names, and no life of those babies that he's sprinkling throughout the country. Disappear or die, there's no record. Paying planned slaughterhood tax money to kill American babies. Everything this guy touches is that's why I call the Democrats the party of death. Everything they come in contact with dies. Not doing a Surgeon General's warning that abortions increase the risk of suicides. Some stats say as much as 157%. But don't take my word for anything. You know what you do? You Google it. Google it, baby. So what are you, a Democrat or a Republican? Are you a devil, a demoncrat, or are you an angel?
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are, I'd like to wake up and find. Devil or angel, I miss you, I miss you. Devil or angel, please say you'll be mine. Love me or leave me, I'll go out of my mind. Devil or angel, like an angel, your smile is divine. What you keep love me or leave me, I made up my mind. Devil or angel, there whichever you are, I love you, I love you.
Mike Savage is saying, if you like your Ebola, you can keep your Ebola. Yes, he explained in an interview on Saturday that the U.S. has sunk to the level of the Soviet Union in the 1950s. Well, that's the plan. The plan is to go prehistoric USA while the Communist Party advances all the way. Where government-controlled science and a government-controlled press were a way of life, well, we have definitely a government-controlled press. And I got to tell you something. We have 10,000 dead, including those who died on 9/11. Bush lost 4,700 Americans in Iraq. And the Communist Party, which used to be the Democrat Party, said that was an outrage. We didn't have to lose one. But they forget the night of 9/11 because the 3,000 that died mean nothing to them, including the 200 babies who died with their mothers. The unborn, who weren't even mentioned on a plaque on the wall. They weren't given names because they don't count. They have to see daylight in order to be real. Very sad. Okay, so 4,700 died in Iraq. Now, if you take the casualty rate, it's usually 7 to 1. 7 wounded to 1 killed. So you're looking at about 32,000-33,000 wounded in Iraq. Now, every one of those was listed by name, town, and age by the communist media under Bush. And it was not uncommon for Code Pinko people to stick microphones in the face of a Gold Star mother and say, how do you feel now that your son died under George Bush? But when Obama took over, the first thing they did, the communists did, was they deleted the name American, and they substituted the name NATO. So Obama lost 2,300 NATO troops to be identified later, and they were never mentioned in the press. And everybody thinks they're buried in Holland. They all came home. And if you look at the Benghazi bodies being returned, coming off that plane, there's three coffins in a picture being carried by 24 Marines. And I put a caption underneath that, Obama brings the troops home. And that's how he likes to bring them home, in body bags. You say, I'm not telling the truth. Yeah, well, he's got 2,300 dead. So if you do 7 to 1, that's 15,000 that are wounded. So you take the 33,000 wounded and the 15,000 wounded under Obama, and what do you have, 48,000 wounded GIs. Now, I don't know how many lost limbs, but every time I turn around, there's another guy in a wheelchair racing another guy in a wheelchair. Okay? So I'm going to go low on the number of guys who have lost limbs. I'm going to say it's 1,000. It may be more, and I'm going to look like a jerk for picking that figure, but let's say it's 1,000. Okay? All of the casualties, okay, that were taken out at least 80% of them, and maybe 90% of them, were taken out by IEDs. Now, we're in this war 13 years, going on 14 years, in this current war against Islam. Oh, the Muslims are the wonderful people, they're a religion of peace, and they're going to blow your legs off tomorrow. But only the bad Muslims, not the good Muslims. The good Muslims, they just stand by and watch. And they pray. Give me a break, man. Stop brainwashing the American people. Imagine being brainwashed by your own. Well, they're really not our own. They don't belong here. And when we won the American Revolution, everybody that sided with the enemy was asked to leave. And maybe we're going to have to do that again, huh? But anyway, so with all of the casualties that were caused by IEDs, and if you ever seen the devastation of an explosion of an IED, you know how the totality of that explosion and how it wrecks your body. Now, how come we don't have an IED pre-detonator? How come nobody that's getting grant money at MIT hasn't come up with an IED pre-detonator? What does it take to detonate a bomb that's buried no more than 6 feet in the ground? Huh? Now, you see some of these bombs are detonated by cell phones. What does it take to run a range of signals to duplicate a possible cell phone signal and detonate that bomb? Nobody is paying attention to IED detonators, yet it's causing the most casualties. We could have a pre-detonator tomorrow in the invasion in Normandy. When the tanks and the GIs got to the hedgerows, they were obstacles in their way. They went back to the beach and they took those big X's that were in the water and they welded them to the front of the tanks and they burrowed their way through the hedgerows. That's necessity is the mother of invention. We have a huge necessity, and it's 14 years old, and we should have an IED pre-detonator, be it sonar, be it signal, what's the other one? Sonar, signal, rays, whatever, laser, be it laser. Now, how come we don't have it? You know why we don't have it? Because nobody gives a two Shiites. Because they're not going to fight that war. So long as that war is over there, I'm not going. My son's not going. My daughter's not going. No, let the Americans fight it. I'm not an American this week. You'll be an American when ISIS shows up at the mall. And you better have Kevlar on that baby carriage if you're making babies. And you don't think that can't happen either, right? We're all in for a rude awakening. And the next war, and we were more ready in the 50s than we are today, is going to be nuclear. All it takes is one guy with a missile and a button, with a push button. And I got grandchildren 3 years old that know how to push buttons. Yeah, unbelievable. And so do you, right? Okay. So, Savage says, you can keep your Ebola. Now, Savage, not known for pulling his punches, comes out swinging on the interview. He holds Obama responsible for intensifying the enterovirus D68 epidemic. This is the one I worry about. You got grandchildren, you got to sweat this one out. Yeah. And he says it's come here with unaccompanied minors from Guatemala, Nicaragua, and El Salvador, where the virus is endemic. Now that American children are getting D68, which Savage refers to as a mystery virus, not a public health official in the entire nation will even ask the question, could it be related to the immigrants that are coming in? Germ warfare. Remember, we were all upset when the Clinton towers came down because Clinton gave Osama bin Laden a pass. Remember that? He gave him a pass. He was hunting with hawks in Afghanistan, with a Emirates prince, and Clinton had a chance to take him out, and he gave it a pass because he figured that the prince's father might take care of him with a few mil. Oh no, that thought never entered his mind. Oh, that's right, he's a lawyer. I forgot. Lawyers don't think evil. Unbelievable, man. We're in trouble. Okay, having said that, I do want an IED pre-detonator. We're all going to go down to Dixieland. We're going to remind everybody that 600,000 Americans died to free the slaves, 300,000 on each side. And probably the number of Johnny Rebs that owned slaves was about 10%. And all the rest of them, they were fighting for their state and their brothers and their cousins. And that's how that goes. Feminists are trying to change words. Oh, I do have something I want to read to you tonight. It's on political correctness. I think I have it right here. Political correctness. All right, let me give you a quick rundown. So bra is now an anti-feminist word. So my suggestion is let's change it to flower pots. And if a guy gets fresh, you can charge him with workplace violets. Please do not pick these flowers. Another news today, the Tea Party in November intends to give communist senators pink slips, but no bras. So, okay, what else do we want to talk about? All the Republicans are telling us we need 5 seats in the Senate. No, we don't. We need more than 5 seats. We need 67 Senate seats. We have to override the 300 vetoes Obama plans to use to carry on the legacy of Harry Reid. Harry is sitting on 300 congressional bills, and Obama lies that Congress won't send him anything to sign. Very shortly, he will have 300 bills to sign or veto. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to fall back to line number two. I had to veto it. The only one I could pass in good conscience was the Stamp Act and a tax on tea. But not coffee, because Starbucks bought me off. Did I say that? I must have had a shred of honesty attack. There is grumbling in the land. The people are saying it is time for a revolution. This from a country that is weary of war that they never fought. Look how tired they are. Before we shred one drop of our real national treasure, blood, let us mop up the bribe-taking Senate, those inside traitors who deserve pink slips and bras. And you know what? I'd like to know what the insider trading was like today in the House and the Senate. And go back to the first Ebola outbreak in the USA and check who's selling America short and what they're buying. Yeah. And imagine that. They're making money on bad news. You don't think that's not happening? They won't tell you. And I'll bet you it's mostly Democrats who are always looking out for the little people. Yeah, they're looking out for them. Yeah, you got to watch out for those little people. Yeah, they might be gunning for me. Yeah. In the words of the good farmers of freedom, it is time to rotate that bad crop. No more terms for termites. In November, you can have a bloodless coup and be back in control of your government. Don't settle for 5 to 6 wins. Sweep the field. Pick 67 senators to oppose Obamianism. And then we can holler, "A bartender, American champagne. Oh my, look how it bubbles." So having said that, I'm going to tell you about political correctness. The origins of political correctness, if we look at it analytically, if we look at it historically, we'll quickly find out exactly what PC is. Political correctness is cultural Marxism. It is Marxism translated from economic into cultural terms. If we compare the basic tenets of political correctness with classical Marxism, the parallels are very obvious. The nature of political correctness is perhaps revealed nowhere more clearly than on communist college campuses. You show me a college campus, I'll show you a communist. Some of which at this point are small, ivy-covered North Koreas, where the student or faculty member who dares to cross any of the lines set by the gender feminist or the homosexual rights activist or the local black or Hispanic group. Hispanics, listen up. You are the children of Viva Cristo Rey. You are not to be comunista. You are to climb that ladder and get to the top. That is your job. That is your job, man. You get to the top of that ladder. Leave the others down with the three broken rungs that'll never get a leg up. But you have an opportunity, and your children are already growing taller than you. So viva Cristo Rey. Any of the sainted victims groups the PC revolves around quickly find themselves in judicial trouble. When the classical Marxists, the communists, took over a country like Russia, they expropriated the bourgeoisie. They took away their property. Similarly, when the cultural Marxists take over a university campus, they expropriate things like quotas for admissions. Political correctness was formally developed at the Institute for Social Research in Frankfurt, Germany, founded in 1923. It became known as the Frankfurt School. It was a group of thinkers who pulled together to find a solution to the biggest problem facing the implementers of communism in Russia, which was, why wasn't communism spreading? The answer they determined was because Western civilization was in the way. The problem with Western civilization was its belief in the individual, that an individual could develop valid ideas. At the root of communism was the idea that all valid ideas come from the social group or leadership. The individual is irrelevant. They believed that the only way for communism to advance was to assist Western civilization in destroying itself, just like Obama's doing right now. He's helping us. I did it all for you, comrade. Yes. This could be accomplished, they thought, by undermining its foundations, by chipping away at the rights of individuals. And to wait its acceptance, call it something that sounds positive, political correctness. Do you know they even got people indoctrinated into believing that Caps is shouting? Yeah, if you don't type lowercase, you're a radical. Yeah, and they tell you it's politeness. Oh, who put the polite in political correctness? A similar tactic was employed with the naming of affirmative action, but that's another article. Inspired by the brand new communist technique, Mao in the 1930s wrote an article on the correct handling of contradictions among the people. Sensitive training. Sound familiar? With that, speech codes were born. This is a very good article. Especially when it comes to 1935, after Hitler came to power. Hitler came to power and he chased the communists out. So where did the Frankfurt School move to? New York City, where they continued their work by translating Marxism from economic to cultural terms using Sigmund Freud's psychological conditioning mechanisms to get Americans to buy into political correctness. So back in 1935, the brainwashing of the American average American began. In 1941, they spread to Sin City, California, to spread their wings. But political correctness remains just what it was intended to be, a sophisticated and dangerous form of censorship and oppression imposed upon the citizenry with the ultimate goal of manipulating, brainwashing, and destroying our society. Why it can't work. Political correctness cannot work because it is based on flawed principles. Most importantly, it destroys individual freedoms. It is akin to communism in that sense, and like communism, it is an affront to freedom-loving people. That is why it can only be implemented covertly, one small step at a time, camouflaging its true reach and intent. Political correctness assumes that all ideas and cultures are compatible, except, of course, those that do not accept political correctness. As a movement, it claims to seek equality, but it can never achieve it because it relies on double standards to achieve equality, which is an obvious failure of logic. How accepting would the practitioners of PC be of a heterosexual pride parade or of a scholarship fund specifically for white men? Political correctness has failed or is failing everywhere it has been tried. Soviets who embraced political correctness with the communist revolution found themselves in a lumbering, impoverished, humorless nation that faded into history. Of course, you can't ask the citizens of Cuba how they feel about political correctness, but if you could, I doubt you would get glowing reports of a socialist paradise. Yeah, they can't even eat fruits and vegetables. They're eating still life paintings down there. And the president of Mexico, the El Grande Coyote, holding one Marine, should know that for better or for worse, we've had a 50-year boycott on Cuba. And that could happen to Mexico tomorrow if something happens to that Marine. Best thing is to let him go. Give him back to his mamacita. But if you could, I doubt you would get the glowing reports. We know that, as indicated by the extreme left here in the U.S. I don't like words like leftist. I don't like words like Democrat. I like words like communist. I like to call a spade a spade. or a hammer and sickle, a hammer and sickle. It saddens me and frankly frightens me that political correctness seems to have taken a strong hold in this nation that I love. I never heard a Russian say, I love Russia. Did you know that? I had a teacher in Arabic who used to be a teacher of English in Kuwait. And, he taught Arabic in Kuwait. And he read a poem to the class of all Kuwaitis, and it was dedicated to the beauty of Kuwait. And the last line in the poem, you know, Kuwait, I love your beauty and your magnificence. You are the mother of my heart. But as soon as the oil runs out, I'm out of this dust bowl. And all the Kuwaitis loved his poem. Unbelievable, right? So it saddens me that political correctness has taken a strong hold on the nation I love. I know that I am less free today than I was yesterday. So many people disagree with political correctness and the force driving it today, but are afraid to act. So many more would feel the same way if they simply understood that the nature of this threat. What can be done? I will defer to Mr. Charlton Heston. There's a speech that he gave. There's an excerpt from that speech that he gave at Harvard Law School on February the 16th, 1999. The answer's been here all along. I learned it 36 years ago on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., standing with Dr. Martin Luther King and 200,000 people. You simply disobey, peacefully, yes, respectfully, of course, nonviolently, absolutely. But when told how to think or what to say to behave, we don't. We disobey social protocol that stifles and stigmatizes personal freedom. I have learned the awesome power of disobedience from Dr. King, who learned it from Gandhi and Thoreau and Jesus, and every other great man who led those in the right against those with the might. Disobedience is in our DNA. We feel innate kinship with that disobedient spirit that tossed tea into Boston Harbor, that sent Thoreau to jail, that refused to sit in the back of the bus, that protested. This is a real American speech, man. That protested a war in that same spirit. I am asking you to disavow cultural correctness with massive disobedience of rogue authority, social directives, and onerous law that weaken personal freedom. Very nice. Very nice. I've got my eyes opened. I believe. I'm a believer. So, what do you want to play? Oh, I had something for you. We were going to do... There's a girl that came out today and she blamed America for everything. She's 24 years old, and she's a Hollywood star. I don't know her name, never saw her before, and I don't like her already. And so I'm dedicating this tune to her. Oh, she's a pot smoker, too. I think that anybody that is into pot should have to wear an aluminum pan on their head to let everybody know they're potheads.
And running all over.
Title of this next article. This is from the Tea Party, and it's posted by National Director D. This lady is very busy, man. She comes out with all kinds of bulletins. 297 Congress members, I call them Viet Congress mice, have earmarked $3.8 billion for earmarked. Your money is being earmarked. Are you scratching your ear right now? $3.8 billion for organizations tied to them or family members. What's my rule of thumb? One term per termite. If your wife is in a special interest group, how much special interest if the husband is going to lose the job in 4 years? Okay? He's gone, she's gone. Remember back when Democrat Congressman Jim Moran, you ever see this guy? He's a disgrace to the race. Yes, the Fenians will be spinning in their graves when they hear the name Jim Moran. A pox be upon his house. May his cat never hunt, may his pig never grunt. May his goat fly away like an old paper kite. May the lumps on the stick raise the bumps fast and quick. On the head of this termite. U.S. Representative for Virginia. Virginia's gone, folks. Virginia is gone. You know who's the governor of Virginia? Hillary's house buyer. I can't remember his name, but I got a picture of him. He's got a gavel, and he's standing up there. He used to be the head of the DNC, which stands for Dilatation and Curettage, which is a French name for abortion. DNC, divide and conquer. Yeah. Demons and communists. Unbelievable. And, what was his name? He's now the governor of Virginia. Virginia's gone, man. Gone. Communists rolled right in there. Jim Moran. The last time I saw Jim Moran, you know where he was? He was blocking the door to Terry Schiavo's hospital room, nobody could stop the butcher shop from going in and pulling her feeding tube. And I understand that starvation is a terrible way to die. It's like a slow death. How's that, huh? Yeah, it's a woman's right to choose, except if the woman is a witness in an attempted murder. Yeah. And Jim Moran was there with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Heinrich Himmler of the ladies. Yeah. Unbelievable. And Senator Bayonet the Babies Nelson. It seems like child murder is on the Democrat side of the room. Unbelievable. What do they got in the baby carriages? High heels? You ever see that ad? Two women pushing baby carriages and all that's in them is high heels. Did you ever see the baby carriage by the fireplace and all that's in it is logs? How about baby carriages with dogs in them? I know a woman whose mother used to be a nanny in a very swanky part of New York City. and she was a nanny, a live-in nanny for a couple, a very rich couple that had twins. And she used to take the twins out in a stroller, along with a dog. And this woman was from Brazil, and she couldn't get over how New Yorkers paid so much attention to the dog and wouldn't even look at the twins. How's that? Yes, we're very sophisticated. Can you play the Continental? Americans need to understand. Oh, let's see what this says. Oh, and Trumka, by the way, makes a, you know, Trump get ahead of the hardworking AFL-CIO? Yeah, he makes $154 an hour, just so you know, when you're paying your dues. Just remember that. Jim Moran, U.S. Representative of Virginia's 8th Congressional District, he gave an interview where he said that Congress is underpaid at $174,000 a year and needs a raise because Americans need to understand that Congress is the board of directors for the largest economic entity in the world. How's that? What he's really saying is we got money to spread around and you keep working those three jobs, tax sucker. Well, check out what the board of directors has been up to. According to watchdog groups, Legistorm and Crew, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, you might as well have Harry Truman's dog. A total of 297 members of Congress, and there's about 550 members of Congress, so this is more than half, have earmarked $3,776,001,807 for organizations that are connected directly to them or family members. One term per termite, my friends, and $1 maximum, B-U-G-E or Joe the Plumber, as a champagne contribution for these tax-sucking vampires. So, just one example of how it works. Check out this in the conflicts of interest and crony dealings of Democrat Representative Rosa DeLauro. And she's just one example. Other interesting tidbits. 85 family members of 67 Congress mice have worked as federally registered lobbyists, my friends. The only lobby in Washington is you can get your country back tomorrow. You got to do four simple things. One term per termite. The largest champagne contribution from anybody in the country is a dollar. And Saudi Arabia can send a dollar to. A reduction in the size of government by 80% and a reduction in taxes by 80%. And the only lobby that should be in Washington is in a hotel. So, 85 family members of 67 Congress people have worked as federally registered lobbyists connected to lobbying contracts worth $1,207,000,000. 19 members of Congress have paid 19 family members a total of $6,876 from their congressional office payroll, including Representative Moran, who paid his daughter a salary of $53,000 for working on his campaign committee in 2010. Cronyism rules the day. You want to hear what the replies are? There's a congressman, and he's got a plaque on his desk. It says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." And this guy says, this guy Dennis says, these are some of the comments. Hello. WTF, I don't know what that is. I'm not vulgar. This is totally unacceptable. Vote out all the incumbents by November the 4th. That's a great move. Great move. I said I wouldn't care. You want to if you vote them all out, no matter what party they're from. Send them home with criminal indictments, monetary recovery, punitive damages, and no pension. You mean like they do to the GIs who they charge with premeditated murder after they come off the battlefield, and send them to Fort Leavenworth and make them stand in front of a court-martial ruled by seven military officers, none of whom had combat experience. Is that what you're talking about? So that a guy like Evan Vaylor, who was ordered to shoot a guy in the head by his commanding officer, who got off the hook, and Evan did 15 years in Leavenworth, and his wife had to sell her house up in Alaska to bring the two kids to be close to daddy so they can wave at him through the windows. Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing to these Congress mice, these Viet Congress mice? We do have a constitution. You aren't going to have it much longer. If you don't strike for your country in November, you're going to be sucking hind Democrat. All public officials, judges, and law enforcement are second oath duty bound to defend the Constitution against all enemies. Terms of office for termites include judges. Nobody should get to plant their ass more than 4 years. The real good news is Amendment 14 and equal protection, and most important of all, SCOTUS, Shoah versus Rhodes, not confirms that the last statement in Article 1, any official shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment according to the law, all of which trumps any legislation. Well, how about we just go after the inside traders who got caught doing inside trading that Wall Street execs go to jail for, and when they got caught, they said, okay, we'll rescind the law. And then a month later, when nobody was looking, they reinstated it and went back to insider trading. Dear fellow Tea Party friends, we surely must be in the wrong line of work. Let's go play with these thieves. Is there a list of these Congress people that we can see so that we may know who they are and what they've been up to? We don't get enough information. We're partially fed information, and we're left to grope for the rest of the story. Say yay, taxpayers. We created the elite class and fund them. Wake up, America. This is not the country in which we were born. I'm sick to death of Democrats, socialists, and communists, and idiot Republicans. That's what I say. The Democrat Party is now the Communist Party, and the Rhino Party is now the Democrat Party. Well, I guess the proof is in the payouts. If we know, why have we as Americans not done anything to stop it? Remove the entire House and Senate to start over isn't a bad idea. I hope that everybody going to the voting booth in November strikes a blow for freedom. I really do. And the first thing you got to do is you got to purge the complacency and the arrogance of these politicians. Term limits, no lobbying jobs, it's disgusting. There is no business like government. Remember I told you the four rules. One term per termite. An 80% reduction in taxes, an 80% reduction in government size. When they found out that the VA was killing Americans under Obama, they should have shut it down. Instead, they give you the old shuffle off the buffalo routine. They replace one incompetent with another incompetent. By the time you learn the other incompetent is no good also, then you're ready with the third incompetent. Shut it down and let the GIs all go to the doctor of their choice. Give them vouchers. And you could do the same thing with communist schools. Shut them down and give the parents vouchers and let them go wherever they want. Okay, so I gave you that, and the guy that said, did you ever stop to think why a two-term congressman will, my father-in-law used to ask this question all the time. Did you ever stop to think why a two-term congressman will spend $2 million on one election for a job that pays $174,000 a year? We all know the Democrats are crooks and most of the Republicans. It is time for a big change in this country, back to constitutional laws. Do you know the difference between a Republican and a Democrat when they get caught stealing? The Republican says, I didn't do it. The Democrat says, you can't prove it. Unbelievable, man. Are we in trouble? Is it time to face the music?
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance. Out the moon, humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance.
There's a girl asking for help. She's running for office in Utah's 4th District, and the Democrats are crunching her, and I don't think she's getting much help from the Republicans. Her name is Mia Love. She's an African-American, or as I like to call them, Americans, and she could sure use a hand. So if you hit the lotto today, maybe you could send her a couple of mil, and if you $5 will do it. She'll be happy with $5, whatever you can donate. Her name is Mia Love. And look her up and give her a hand, because she's really standing on her own. There's nobody helping her. And the Democrats hate her because she won't play the race card with them. So good luck, Mia, and I hope you win. I hope we sweep the field, honey. So having said that, let me see what else we're going to talk about. This is your final notice to impeach Obama. Nothing but scandals, lies, and cover-ups have come from this administration. I got to tell you, you want to know the difference? George Bush, I was in Bush's corner all the way, only because the communists are the masters of propaganda, and they can make anybody look bad. They can make a pope look bad. And didn't they try? They called the German Pope a Nazi, and they brought out his Boy Scout, the Nazi pictures, right? And then they called this one, they don't know what to call this one. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But they'll destroy women. If you're a Republican woman, you're destroyed. You're destroyed by the evildoers. They will label you with so many labels, you'll think you work in a red light district. Unbelievable. Nothing but scandals, lies, and cover-ups have come from this administration, and we've had enough. They're talking about impeaching Obama. I will go for any move that slows him down. And you know what? Holder beat it. He's a real sharpie man. There was an impeachment coming with his name on it. He beat it. Okay, so there are some representatives that want him to impeach him. And anything that slows him down, because this guy is racing to destroy the country. He will do anything in his power to take, to break, bust out America. That's what he wants to do. He's in the hands, he's in the pockets of all the rich guys. The rich guys got him. He ain't working for the guys in Ferguson. People in Ferguson on their own, man. Yeah. Jesse Jackson went in there and they threw him out. They told him, has anybody got $100 bills for Jesse? Unbelievable. My famous picture, of I tried to find it on YouTube, I couldn't, was Corzine. He was buying votes like crazy because he came from Goldman Sachs. So he had all kinds of backing, all kinds of money. And he met with a bunch of African-American ministers in New Jersey. And he paid them off. Now, bribery comes in many forms. You know, it could be in the form of a favor in the future. It doesn't have to be cash on the barrelhead right there. But it got out that he paid them off. And he was at a press conference when they were going to endorse him, and he was the only white guy on the stage. And there were 20 black ministers and deacons all standing around him. And somebody from the press said, how much did it cost to buy these votes? And one of the ministers turned around to the other ones and said, what did we say we were going to say last night? And you had to see Corzine. He looked like a deer in the headlights. He was the only white face, and he was frozen. Unbelievable, man. But that's how cheap it's become to sell out a country. You can kiss your arse goodbye. It is very sad. So they want to impeach Obama. Whatever it takes to slow him down, I don't care what it is. Throw nails in front of his on the road. I don't care. Slow him down. He's on a collision course with for communism to destroy the United States. Now I want to tell you the difference between Bush and Obama. Bush, with all his shortcomings, his dyslexia, his stupidity, he still loves this country. And when you love a country, your country comes first. Obama does not love this country. Never once has he ever said anything good about it. You remember that. And don't forget it. Get top dollar for your phone. Oh, man, I got all kinds of Tea Party blogs. Oh, I want to do a tribute to the nurses. The nurses are going to be the frontline troops in this war against Ebola. And all of the aides that are working there. And I talked the other night about a guy who had AIDS in a Catholic nursing home. And they covered up the fact that he had AIDS. And he was a violent guy. He was in his 30s. And he used to spit on the AIDS, and he used to throw feces and blood around. And these AIDS at the time were making $9 an hour. Okay? Isn't that sad that you got to risk your life for $9 an hour? So, got to be careful. And watch Obama when he sends these troops into Liberia to set up these field hospitals. And the first guy that comes down with Ebola, that's on Obama all the way. And on anybody that's working under him, that's going to cover up for him. And it's time to stop covering up for these high echelon jerks. Did you see General Dempsey speaking of high echelon jerks? Did you see him at the interview today? He was laid back in a chair. I don't know about you, but when I'm intense, I-N-T-E-N-S-E, when I'm intense, I'm not laying back in a chair. I'm leaning forward. I'm all ears and eyeballs. This Dempsey's laying back there saying, well, the airport won't fall. They'll never get that close. This guy's in charge of all of the troops in the United States, all of the troops in the military. He's in charge. Now, could you imagine George Patton sitting in Washington, D.C., when the airport in Baghdad is about to fall? Could you imagine George Patton pacing up and down? the patent that said, I'm personally going to shoot that paper-hanging son of a bitch when I get to Berlin. Yeah. And he also said, no great military decision was ever made in a swivel chair. And look what we got. We got Dumpster Dempsey. It is sad, man. Absolutely sad. So, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to have a high noon?
Do not forsake me, oh my darling.
I'm stopping this because I want to do a tribute to nurses. Nurses on the front line, doctors. These nurses are putting it all on the line. They got to do the dirty work. Have a lot of respect for nurses. Treat them right. Buy them dinner. They're going to be with you when you die. And they'll probably go to your funeral. And they may be the only one there. So just be good to nurses. God bless nurses. And all the aides that work in these hospitals. And be glad it's not you that has to do that task.
Do not forsake me, oh my darling. On this our wedding day, do not forsake me, oh my darling. Fate awaits me. I only know I must be brave, for I must face the man who hates me. Or lie a coward, a craven coward, or lie a coward in my grave.
Okay, here's what they're talking about down in Liberia, or Sierra Leone, this is. Let me be sure. Okay, it's one of the two. Most of the workers are no longer coming to work. The few ones who come in don't work. We don't have the manpower needed to do the work here at the center, Director Atai Omoruto told reporters before the government clamped down. Omoruto said the center has been designed for a maximum capacity of 150 beds, and they've been forced to take in 300 patients. Alfonso Wese, representing the clinic's healthcare workers, told AFP the government had refused to pay benefits for dealing with Ebola and salaries were as low as $250 a month. We cannot work under these conditions. We are risking our lives every day, and the government remains insensitive to our plight. This is not human. You know what? This could be talk in the U.S. soon. The Liberian government announced on Wednesday it was postponing national elections. The United Nations said on Friday it had quarantined 41 personnel from its Liberia mission, including 20 soldiers, following a second Ebola infection among its staff. The measure came 2 days after the mission, known as UNMIL, announced an international staff member working in its medical department tested positive after complaining of symptoms. The healthcare workers have fled, the UN is overwhelmed, and the local governments are tightening freedoms as their control over events becomes even more tenuous. Next up, a governmental collapse and infected and potentially infected people flee into Ivory Coast, Mali, and Senegal, the three contagious countries, and the merry-go-round starts another circuit. Meanwhile, up to 3,000 U.S. troops will be on the ground in a country in meltdown amidst a deadly contagion, with minimal self-protection or evacuation options, and potentially no clear plan in place for such a contingency. It's another way Obama can kill troops. It's very interesting. And here's some of the replies. The medical staff over there is not giving the victims proper treatment because of the color of their skin. Yeah, okay. Thank you, and regards to Leventi Beria. Playing the race card across continents, pray tell, Pete, how do you know this is a fact? And Pete, are you willing to wade in and help out since you must feel guilty about mistreatment? And here's Ronald, a retired colonel. Hardly the patients and medical staff are primarily black, so how is it that they're denying their own race proper medical care? The governments of African nations are notoriously corrupt, many as corrupt as our own. What can one expect from African leaders who care more about their personal wealth and power than their constituents? Sound familiar? This is probably the most hate-filled statement I ever heard in a long time about medical staff. And that's talking about the communists. It's quite apparent to all that the collapse of African nations is very near. The sad thing is our troops will be facing anarchy at a level seldom seen in modern times. They need all our earnest prayers. Has anyone yet seen that Ebola plays an important role in Obama's plan for public widespread confusion and fear? Oh, it's another way to call out and insist on martial law, huh? Obama knows that all the millions from south of the border will grow up in the USA and their birth rate is far greater than the USA average, so that the body politic in the USA in only two generations look like Mexicans, and they will be and they will not be white, and they will not look back to any founding fathers. And so government will be a dictatorship over citizens of various degrees of color and vote for a king, like Obama. The votes of the immigrants will go for the man, Obama, who brought them here. No chance for his ilk ever to be outvoted. So a one-party police will be the order of the day. So Obama is turning the democratic system on its head by immigration. Under the Constitution of 1776, unless a man paid taxes, he was not allowed to vote. The Supreme Court of the Founding Fathers' days required a kind of voter registration, only it was a tax receipt as ID. So why can't the SC of 2014 understand that non-citizens are blocked from voting until they become Americans first? Yeah, they're not paying attention to the law. The law is for you to follow and for them to break. If I were in the military, I think it's got to be all volunteer. You can't tell order men to go to Ebola country. That's got to be called for volunteers. And if nobody wants to go, well, then send to Congress. Send to Congress. Give them ladles. I knew our republic was going to hell in a handbasket with them with a Muslim commie punk in the White House from Kenya, and the punk morons like old Joe Biden and Billy Bob Clinton carrying the basket. But a plague was not what I had in mind, more an economic collapse and the dollar not being worth a match to burn it. You know what? You may get it from both ends. The stock market is not doing too good. Yeah. And it was a sneaky drop today. I looked at it. It was $20 up. Then at the end of the day, I looked. It was down 325 points. So you got to – the bottom can fall out real easy. Hold on, Al. No need to be disappointed. You might hit a trifecta. All three events may occur, an economic collapse, plague, and the demise of the dollar. Remember, with Obama, every crisis provides the opportunity for fundamental transformation. Another guy says, true, true. West Africa is shaping up to be an Ebola holocaust. I would make a suggestion. Ship in mobile, field mobile crematoriums. Don't bury any dead. Drill, baby, drill. We need to frack for natural gas. And got to keep those ovens cooking. Oh, man. Some people are very heartless. Okay. We're signing off. We're saying sayonara. I hope I made some points tonight. I hope I made you. I should have given you more music. What am I going to do? Let me see if I can find a nice tune for you on the way out. Oh, I got one. My buddy used to tease me with this one because I used to go out with a girl with this name, and I was always in trouble with her. And so when I got in trouble, he would play this tune. Let me see if I can find it. Come on, give me a break. Oh, it must be with... there we go. It's going to be Frankie Valli. Here it is. Okay. I got it for you.